where your former pastors told me about how good the music was, about how kind and good and welcoming the people were at Hazel Green. And they didn't lie. We're so grateful for all the music, and the Stewarts are still sort of basking in your welcome and encouragement. Today, let's hear a story that comes from John's Gospel, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. It's the story of Nicodemus. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one who has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Well, this is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts, our spirits, our imaginations to Your Word on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Pharisees were... spare you the blast. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And Pharisees were laymen. But they were the kind of laymen whose idea of a good night out with the boys, a boys' night out, was to crack open a couple of Bible verses from Leviticus. That's sort of what they wanted to do. And they would wrestle those verses to the ground. And they would squeeze all the meaning they could find out of those verses. They were very concerned to live as God's people. And so, one day, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He comes at night. Night was when the Pharisees studied. If you were a Pharisee man, you'd go home from your job, work, and you'd... as soon as supper was over, you'd say to your family, "I'm gone," and you'd head to the synagogue with your buddies. And you'd pore over those scriptures at night by oil lamp. We do not know what caused Nicodemus to come talk to Jesus that night. We just don't know. Maybe he was just a seeker after truth, and he had heard there's a new teacher in town, and he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And so he went. Or maybe he was sent on a reconnaissance mission by the other Pharisees Maybe they said, somebody needs to go check out that guy. He's teaching around here. We're not so sure about what he's teaching. You see, the Pharisees, they had studied the Scriptures, and they liked that verse that said, the priest shall be holy, clean. And so they followed that a little bit. And they found this other verse that said, all of Israel will be holy, a nation of priests. So they put those two together. And they said, you know, we ought to have rules not just for the priest up in the temple, but for everybody. And so they developed over 600 rules, these Pharisees did, for how you do life. Rules for how you manage your kitchen. Rules for how you farm and garden. Rules for the marketplace. Rules for the bedroom. They had 600 rules. So maybe they wanted to check out Jesus and then, well, where does he stand on our way of doing it? Or maybe Nicodemus had just turned 50. And maybe that morning when he had ordered his breakfast, the sweet young thing behind the counter gave him the senior citizen's discount on his coffee without even asking him. That'll make you stop and think, where am I in life? I know what I'm talking about there. Maybe Nicodemus had painted himself into an ethical corner. We don't know. Maybe he'd done something wrong at work, even a little illegal. Who knows? A hidden addiction, extramarital affair. We don't know. But something brought Nicodemus to Jesus. Maybe he woke up that morning and realized, I have spent my life to this point making money. And maybe I need to figure out now what I can do that will have eternal significance. Or maybe that day he had talked to his father's physician. And his father's doctor had said, there's just not much more we can do for your dad. We'll keep him comfortable. We don't know. I guess what brought him to Jesus is probably some of the same kind of things that bring us to gather around Jesus today when we worship. You know, there's some of us that came to worship today because we're just so happy to be alive. Life is going good. Things are working. Family's good. Work is good. This creation is beautiful. There are some of us that had to come to church today just to say thank you to God for it all. Some of us just had to do that. And then there are others that came to church to gather around Jesus because we're interested in His ethics. We look at this world and we see hunger and we see injustice and we see war and we say, somebody needs to fix this. And I think Jesus had some pretty good ideas about this kind of stuff. So maybe some of us are drawn to Jesus just because of his ethical vision for a just and peaceful world. Or maybe some of us gather around Jesus because we're hurting. Somebody had said if they put on the doors of churches detectors like the metal detectors at the airport, but instead of registering whether you had a gun or a knife, they would register desperation. That on a lot of days, a lot of us would set off bells and lights. We don't know. We just know that he sensed that Jesus can help. And that's why we gather each Sunday. Jesus can help. We all sense there's a need for a makeover in our life. Maybe, I'm sure you've seen some of the makeover shows. You know, they've been the rage, I guess, for a couple of years now. You know, like the show where they videotape these people off of the week and don't let them through the month. And then they bring them in with their friends and they show them how bad they dress, you know. And then they take them around and give them the money and buy the stuff and embarrass them and humiliate them to help them dress better. Or those shows where, you know, your neighbors take over your house and they take the heirloom table your grandmother left you and they cut the legs off of it, you know, and they make it a coffee table. You've seen those shows. There is something in us that yearns for a makeover, a fresh start. a do-over, a beginning again. That's why we love those shows. Because we know we need some of that. Well, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, I expect, looking for something new. And what Jesus tells him, and Jesus hardly lets him start talking. Nicodemus the Pharisee, I'm sure, you know, he comes with his laptop, and he's going to take down every word Jesus said. And Jesus said, don't be surprised if I tell you to see the kingdom, you must be born from above. And Nicodemus writes, you must be born again. You see, the word in Greek for again and the word for from above is the same word. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is always using puns. He's using words that have more than one meaning. And usually, people take the wrong meaning. And so, Jesus says, you must be born from above, and Nicodemus writes down, you must be born again. The word in Greek is anothen, same word. And we know Nicodemus does that, because Nicodemus begins to think Jesus is talking in terms of obstetrics. Born again. And he says, how can a grown man enter his mother's womb? And Jesus then, he says, you must be born by the Spirit. And then Jesus talks about how he has come from above and will be raised up to go back to above. Jesus is talking about heavenly things, he says. And Nicodemus is thinking about earthly things. Jesus says, you must be born from above. And Nicodemus thinks, I must be born again. Jesus uses two words that are just filled with meaning. The word about being born. Jesus said, being with Him is something about being born. I remember when I was in a surly mood once when I was a teenager, and my mother had been after me to do this. There's something she wanted me to do. I can't even remember what it was. But, you know, she just stayed on my case to go and do this. And finally, I said, why are you making me do this? I didn't ask to be born. I said that right before her shoe was thrown in my direction, and I ran out the door. Sometimes my mother couldn't get to us fast enough, and she'd slip off a sandal and sling it at us, and we got the point. But that's true. None of us asked to be born. You know, Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. He wants to make a list of what he can go and do. I mean, he's a go-and-do guy. The Pharisees did that. Somebody said, America, we're a nation of engineers. I don't know how many of you are engineers in some form or fashion. Okay. I'm the first one in five generations not to be an engineer. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather. We're all at one time or another associated with the steel, iron stuff in Birmingham as engineers. The theory goes that we Americans are at heart engineers because we see a continent. And we say, we could build a railroad across that. And so they do. And they're out in California around the San Francisco Bay, and they see this bay and that Golden Gate. They say, you know, we could build a bridge over that. And they do. And America, they look at the moon. They say, we could put a man up there. And we do. We are go-and-do-it people. Fix it. Build it. And Jesus says this spiritual life is about going and being born. Well, wait a minute. We can't make ourselves be born. That is something somebody else does for us and to us. Jesus is saying this spiritual life, this life of eternal life, is not about going and doing so much as what someone else does for you, which means it's a gift, which means it's a grace. Think about what it is to be born. Think about a newborn baby. We know they're dependent. Newborns, they have to be fed. They have to be carried around. They have to be dressed. Newborns are absolutely dependent. Jesus says this spiritual life, this eternal life, is about a birth. It's about being dependent on God. Maybe Jesus wants us to understand there's not a one of us that are self-made men and women. We may think we are, but if we had the sense to do anything or the capacity to do anything. I mean, to move muscles. I mean, we didn't make that. God made that. We didn't make this creation with the natural resources. God made that. There's no such thing as a self-made man. We are dependent on God. We're newborns. You must be born. That involves being dependent. That involves having something done to us. It involves being beginners. You know, newborns are beginners, aren't they? You know, the people that Jesus had the most problem with were the people who knew it all. Particularly the Pharisees, who they had it lined out, what God had done. And there was nothing God could do or would do that they didn't know in advance. They had God figured all out and reduced down to 600 laws. And Jesus had this vision of a bigger God that might be doing something new. Jesus' way is a way of being a beginner in learning and growing and changing. That's why Jesus will tell all these stories about growth, trees growing and plants growing. It's about growing into something else, becoming, changing, being a beginner. Some of the stuff you need to know, you can't know until something has been done for you, like forgiveness. If there is someone that needs forgiveness, unless you have experienced what it means to have had some slack cut for you and for you to get better than you deserved, you have no basis for doing that for somebody else. In order to forgive, you have to have had experienced something of forgiveness. That's why the prayer that he taught us is, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You can't do it till you've experienced it. It's the same way with generosity. Jesus will teach his people to grow, to be generous, and he tells them, you know, give to those who ask from you. You can't do that unless you have been overwhelmed by how much you have received along the way. Then giving doesn't become, well, this is mine and I'm going to give it away. No, giving becomes a great adventure. You say, look at all this stuff that God has entrusted to me and given to me. And I get the, God had so much fun giving it to me. Now I'm going to have the fun of giving some of it away. There's this growing in our faith. We're beginners. We're newborns. Newborns have things done for them and to them. They are dependent. And they have their future spread out in front of them. You ever play the game of looking at the newborns or small children and you think, I wonder what they're going to look like. What are they going to be and what are they going to do? Are they going to look like their parents? Are they going to look like their grandparents? What is this one going to be like? Their future is out in front of us. When you're a newborn, your future is out in front. You have more life out in front of you than you do behind you. And Jesus said, we must be born. He's telling us there's more out in front of us than behind us. That song we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. It's about being born. But it's about being born from above. From above. Nicodemus and everybody else around in the New Testament knew who was in charge of the world. If you ask the man on the street, you say, well, it's Caesar, finally. Emperor Caesar. And we're in the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. But Jesus talks about a kingdom of God, a different ruler, a different sovereign, a different one in charge, a different way of organizing the world. And he says, you know, you look around and you see the world organized as Rome would have it. And Romans, boy, they were organizers. They invented engineering and they invented organization. But Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, the administration of God, the order of God. That's why the definition of it, we pray for it when we say that Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means the next phrase. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the kingdom of God is. Life organized on this earth, this side of the grave, as God has arranged it. And Jesus dares Nicodemus to find a new kind of life by imagining life organized as God would have it. He dares him to have a new citizenship. A citizenship not in the Roman Empire, but in the kingdom of God. To know that that's where his final allegiance is from. And you may do some things when you live under the Caesar, but when you live under God's, well, you do some other things that are kind of strange. They're different. You forgive rather than seek vengeance. You serve rather than being served. You give rather than only receiving. Eternal life, it's about being born, and all that means, from above, and all that means. And it is being born again because it is a new start. But it is a new start that doesn't just happen once. All our days we are being born anew. As we grow into this knowledge of what God is and how God loves us and how God would have us live. I've been reading this book. Some of you probably read that John Barron's book, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, about this, the murder in Savannah, you know, bestseller movie, all that. After he finished with Savannah, he went to live in Venice, Italy, you know, where the canals are there instead of the streets. And Venice was an interesting city. It was the greatest, richest city in the world in the first part of the last millennium. And then all of a sudden it got poor. But what happened was they were so poor they couldn't tear down, they couldn't replace all the great grand buildings they had built with new buildings. And so Venice remains this architectural, jewel box. And Barron says, everywhere I went in Venice was like a picture. He said, I decided there was no place in Venice I could go that was not beautiful. And he said, I played a little game. I called it photo roulette. He said, I would go out with my camera, and when I would hear a church bell ring or a dog bark or a cat would cross my path, he said, I would stop right there and take a picture. And he said, they all turned out to be beautiful things. He said, it's sort of a parable of to live in the kingdom of God, to be born from above, to begin to see everything that happens to us as and understand the beauty of God working in it all, to live in God's kingdom. Well, that's what he told Nicodemus that night. Did Nicodemus learn it? Well, it started him on the path. And how do I know that? I know that because we don't hear another thing about Nicodemus at all in the story until we get over to the 19th chapter of John. There's a man named Joseph of Arimathea, and Joseph has come to claim the body of Jesus after it's been tortured to death. And somebody comes with him, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is bringing 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes, 100-pound bag. Can you imagine? Nicodemus staggering. He didn't reject what Jesus said. Now, he doesn't know yet everything there is to know about Jesus because he thinks Jesus needs 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe to embalm his body. Nicodemus knows he's important. But what he doesn't know is what most of the world doesn't know. What's going to happen 3 days later? And that he didn't need those spices. But he's learning. He's learning. He's a beginner. He's been born, newborn. And may God bless us as we seek to live this newness of life that he offers us. Well, if you don't have a church home, you would be welcome to become a part of this family of faith. If you would like to have a conversation with one of the pastors about what does it mean to be baptized, to follow Jesus, to be a disciple, what do you have to do to become a member? We would be delighted to talk with you about that. We would welcome you into the membership of this church. Let us continue our praise together as we sing with the band. Blessed people of God, beloved people of God, forgiven and graced people of God, go into the world in peace, love the Lord and serve Him, render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another as God has loved you. Go in the name of God, we love us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.